Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. First, I want to start out by wishing someone out there a happy birthday, and it's not one of my listeners. It's actually Jack Benny himself. Happy birthday, Jack. Tomorrow will be Jack Benny's birthday. He was born on Valentine's Day. For those of you who didn't know, what a perfect day for Jack to be born. One of the most loved men in the history of entertainment, maybe the history of our planet, I don't know, but a very, very loved man. It seems so completely appropriate for him to be born that day. One, for all that, plus the fact that later on I'm going to play a clip from Johnny Carson's show featuring Mary Livingston, sharing something that Jack did even after he passed away that was just wonderful. And I don't want to give any more of that away, but for those of you who don't know the story, after the clip's over, I'm going to listen to it. If I don't think it's totally clear as to what they're saying is going on, I'll come on and explain a little bit more about it. I can't remember 100% whether in the clip it's made completely clear or if Mary's sort of speaking in sort of shorthand and doesn't get it totally across. We'll see. I'll listen to it again. I tried to find it in better sound quality, but I couldn't, so it's a little dicey on the sound quality, but it's a clip that I've been wanting to share each Valentine's Day since I've been running the podcast, and I just could not remember where it was. I'd known, you know, it's one of those things where you hear so much stuff about Jack Benny and so many parts of interviews and things. I knew that at some point I'd heard Mary and Johnny Carson do this thing, and then I could not find it. I couldn't, there was, anyway, I ended up thinking, okay, where could it possibly be? And so this year I really searched, and I found it. And anyway, it was kind of, I found it on kind of a clip show, a tribute to Mary, actually, after she passed away, that they'd put it on there. So here it is. Anyway, enjoy that. As far as for this episode goes, wow, what a great Valentine's gift yet again Jack gives us. This is a really nice episode. It features Professor LeBlanc, and I love Professor LeBlanc when he comes to visit. And Mel does such a great job with him. It also has the Colemans on, and they're in perfect form. It's just a really polished, well done episode. So I hope you're going to enjoy it and enjoy Mary. And I guess I'll throw it over to Johnny Carson and Mary. Take it away, guys.
Is it true that you still get a red rose from Jack every day? You mentioned that.
Yes, after Jack passed away.
After Jack passed away, I think it was about a week later, a red rose came. No name, just one red rose. And I thought, isn't this lovely? Somebody sent me red rose, how dear. The next day, and still came, and I couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, who's the florist? You know, if I call a florist, they probably could tell me. Nobody knew. It wasn't till about, and I still getting them every day. And it was about, I guess, 6 months later, when the florist, David Jones,
told you that
Jack had told him to send me a rose every day for the rest of my life.
Well, that is sweet. I mean, that gives you, that's the measure of the man.
I know that was a little unclear. Sorry, that's the best quality I have that interview in. But basically what was going on was that was Mary saying that Jack knew he was going to die. He knew he had pancreatic cancer. And he had arranged with the florist to deliver to Mary a rose every day for the rest of her life. And that's what happened up until she died, basically a decade after Jack. And it's just, it's such a touching story, and just one more way Jack showed, you know, who he was, even after he was gone. So, anyway, I'll leave you with that, and now for a great episode of the Jack Benny Show. Have a great Valentine's Day, and every Valentine's Day, just think about Jack for a few minutes. He's an amazing performer, and he an amazing man. And we'll see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, transcribed, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky strike today.
Make your smoking joy complete when buying cigarettes. Enjoy the milder, better taste a lucky smoker gets. Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
I used to switch from smoke to smoke till I tried Lucky Strike. Now I enjoy far better taste and mildness that I like. Honestly, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Friends, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Yes, Lucky's always give you complete smoking enjoyment. That's why the makers of Lucky Strike put an unconditional guarantee on the pack. They know you'll enjoy every Lucky you light. You see, fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, gives you perfect mildness and rich, true tobacco taste. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. So if you're not completely happy with your cigarette, and a 38-city survey shows millions are not, switch to Lucky Strike. Enjoy the perfect mildness and rich taste that only Lucky Strike can give you. For Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. So be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Polaris Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a little trip to Beverly Hills. We go out Sunset Boulevard, up Camden Drive, and stop in front of Jack Benny's house. Now, you just wait right here while I knock on the door, and maybe we can... Oh, I'm sorry. We can't go in now. He's taking his violin lesson.
No, 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 Monsieur Benny. Once more, you have made the same mistake.
I'm sorry. I'll take it again.
Oui. One and two and three and four and... Do not hold your bow too tightly. It will help you play more lightly. Play it softer, not so brassy. Pull your tongue in, you're not lassy.
You know, Professor, if I keep on improving, someday I may play better than Yasha Heifetz.
You should live so long, and you already did.
Thank you.
Now let us try the minuet.
The minuet? Yes, sir.
No. You are forgetting to slide. It is not da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You must slide gracefully. Time.
Now try it. I try it that way.
No, I meant for you to... Well, anyway, the lesson, she is over.
Oh, no, she isn't. We still have 5 minutes. I know, because I set the alarm clock. It'll ring when the hour is up.
Sacre bleu, 5 minutes more.
Yes.
Mr. Benny, do you mind if I have some water?
Not at all. There's some in the cooler.
That is not enough. I would like to drown myself.
Drown yourself?
Last time I tried to do it in your pool and you charged me for swimming.
Professor, please, we're wasting time.
Very well. This time let us see if you can go through a number complete. Try intermezzo.
Intermezzo?
Yes. Oui.
Calm yourself, Professor.
Oui, I must calm myself. I would like to go now. Please, Mr. Benny, would you give me my money?
Oh, certainly. Oh, Rochester!
Did you call me, boss?
Yes, Rochester. Do you have any money on you?
Who, me?
What's the matter? Don't you trust me?
Boss, it isn't a matter of trusting you. I haven't had any money since the last time you paid me.
Rochester, your salary's gone already? I paid you on Tuesday, or was it Wednesday?
I don't remember the day either, but we were on for Jell-O.
Oh, yes.
You gave me six delicious dollars.
Look, Rochester, go in my bedroom and you'll find some money on the dresser. Bring me $1.75.
Wait, Rochester. Mr. Benny.
Yes.
Please, now, do not get excited. But the cost of living is so high, I must raise the price of the violin lessons.
But, Professor...
Look at me. I am in rags. And my shoes. Look, the soles are worn out. I owe everybody money. I am overdrawn at the bank. I have borrowed on my insurance. Next week, my wife is expecting another baby. That will be 8 mouths to feed. Our rent is overdue. We are being dispossessed.
Gosh, of course I'll give you a raise. Rochester.
What? What is it, boss?
Rochester, you're crying.
Yeah, until he got to the wife and children, I thought he was talking about me.
Oh, stop. Now go get the money. Here's the phone. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Jackson. How's the violin lesson coming along?
Phil, how'd you know I was taking a violin lesson?
There's a buzzard circling Beverly Hills.
Now, isn't that cute? Phil, I'm so glad you called me. Who dialed the phone for you?
Alice's brother. He went to Harvard.
All right. Now, Phil, what'd you call for?
Well, look, Jackson, is it all right if Bagby, my piano player, misses rehearsal tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night?
Uh-huh. His fraternity is having its annual get-together.
Oh, sort of a class reunion, huh?
Well, not exactly. Just those fellows who occupied the same cell.
Well, there's nothing like a nice, dignified affair, no?
Even the warden's going to be there.
The warden?
Yeah, he likes to get out once in a while, too.
I never heard such talk in my life. You know, Phil, sometimes I get a little disgusted with you. If you'd stop hanging around with those kind of guys and really applied yourself, you could probably be a very good musician.
Nah, Jackson, that don't pay off. Now, you take a guy like Fred Waring. He devoted his whole life to music, and all he's got is a 5-minute program.
Fred Waring? Only has a 5-minute program?
You don't have to take my word for it. I saw it in the radio section of today's paper.
I can't believe it. Wait a minute, I got the paper right here.
It's in a radio section. He's on at 8 o'clock for 5 minutes.
Let me see now. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock,
8 o'clock.
The third one down.
1, 2, 3.
See? Fred Waring. That's frost warning. Bill, with your lack of education, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I am, Jackson. Yeah. I'm standing here in my $1 million home blushing.
Bill, do me a favor and hang up.
Oh, I will. I will. Good night, my little Valentine.
Good night. Good night. I don't know how a guy can be... Rochester, where's Professor LeBlanc?
I gave him the money and he went home.
Good, good. Well, Rochester, I think that... No, now the door. I'll get it. Oh, hello. Come on in, fellas.
It's only me.
Oh, yes, yes. Come on in, Doc.
Well, Jack, I came over on a... Well, it's a slightly embarrassing thing, but I must ask you a favor.
What is it, Don?
Well, now, Jack, I don't want to impose on our friendship, and if you can't do it, why, just say so, and it'll be all right with me.
Well, Don, go ahead. What is it?
Could you lend me $5?
Well, of course, Don. Why did you have to make such a big thing out of it? Here's $5.
Well, thanks. Now we're even.
Yes. What? What do you mean, even?
Well, that's right, Jack. You owe me this from the bet we had on the fight.
Oh, did you two ever bet on the Lamont or the Robinson fight?
No, Dempsey Tunney.
Well, technically, Don, I don't have to pay you yet. See, there's always been some controversy about that long count, and I was waiting for a final decision. Anyway, Don, it's okay. We're even now.
Well, thanks, Jack. See you later.
Okay. Well, say, Don, what's that you got under your arm? A record?
Oh, yes, Jack. You know the song A Bushel and a Peck from the show Guys and Dolls?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is a recording of it done by the Sportsman Quartet and their wives.
The Sportsman and their wives? I'd like to hear it.
Well, sorry, Jack, but I'm in a hurry. Here, I'll leave it with you.
Okay, thanks. So long, Don.
Goodbye.
Rochester, put this record on, will you? It's the Sportsman Quartet and their wives.
Okay.
What a sneaky way Don had of collecting that $5. I know what he wants with money anyway. He only spends it.
We love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck, hug around the neck, and a barrel and a heap, barrel and a heap, and we're talking in our sleep about you,
about me,
about you,
'cause
we love you, a bushel and a peck, you bet your pretty neck we do.
We love you, a carton and a pack, a carton and a pack, Lucky Strike to be exact. Lucky Strikes are made of that light and fine tobacco, mild and tasty too, there is nothing that they lack. Lucky Strike,
Lucky Strike,
Lucky Strike,
Lucky, Lucky, Lucky from Kentucky.
We all love you, a carton and a pack,
yes, Don and Phil and Jack agree.
Hey, boss, that record sounded good, didn't it?
Yes, yes, it did.
Want me to play the other side?
No, there's nothing on it. I wonder what's on television right now. Turn it on, will you, please?
Sure, boss. Which channel do you want?
Anyone, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I'll try channel 2.
Get something else.
I'll try channel 4.
Try channel 5. Nothing but westerns there. Try 7. Oh, for heaven's sake, horses, horses. See what's on channel 9.
We've been waiting for you, Cecil. Oh, sorry I was late, Chumley.
That's better.
Well, are we ready?
Righto.
Tally-ho.
Rush.
Roger, there must be something else, sir. Hand me the paper. I'll look at the television program.
Here you are, boss.
Let's see. Time for Beanie. Alan Young, Burns and Allen, frost warning.
Put on your glasses, boss. That's Fred Waring.
Gee, I hope Phil doesn't find out. Let's see, wrestling matches. Hey, Rochester, look at this.
What?
Channel 11 is showing my picture tonight. To be or not to be. Hey, that was a good one.
That was the good one.
Yeah, turn on Channel 11 now, because the picture goes on soon.
Yes.
What happened?
I don't know, but something's wrong with the set.
But it was just working. Maybe there's something wrong with that station. Try the other channels.
Okay. No, they all seem to be off. It must be the set.
How do you like that? I've had this set less than a week and it goes out of order. Yeah, I want to see my picture. Hey, wait a minute. I can go over and watch it on the Coleman set. Yeah. I wonder if Ronnie and Benita are home.
The library?
Yes, Benita. I'm trying to finish this letter.
Letter?
Yes, now let's see. I can't stand Jack Benny because...
That's ridiculous. That contest was over 6 years ago.
Oh, yes, I know. I know, but I still can't get it out of my system.
Well, forget the letter now, dear, and get out of that robe. Remember, the Rawlinsons are coming over for bridge.
Oh, yes, yes.
And, Ronnie, for once, just tonight, please try to forget Jack Benny. He's becoming an obsession with you. You know, he does have his good points.
Good points?
Well, certainly. Look how he's doing his share to help the government these days. He's got a war contract.
Benita, my dear, doing laundry for Camp Cook is not a war contract. He makes the money and he borrows our soap.
All right, we're going to have a nice evening of bridge, so forget about Jack Benny.
Well, it isn't only Benny. It's those people he surrounds himself with.
What do you mean?
Well, yesterday Jack must have had rehearsal at his house. When I arrived home, I couldn't turn into our driveway on account of Phil Harris.
Oh, was that where he parked his car?
No, he was just lying there. Yes. Johnny must have been dreaming about himself. He was smiling. He is, without a doubt, the most...
Excuse me, Mr. Coleman.
Yes, Sherwood.
Mr. Jack Benny just phoned. He wanted to talk to you.
Oh, what did you tell him?
Instinctively that you were out.
good boy, Sherwood, good boy. I remember you on your birthday.
Sherwood, did Mr. Benny mention what he wanted?
Yes, Mrs. Coleman. He said he'd like to come over here and watch television on your set.
On our set?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you, Ronnie. When he bought his, he returned ours. I wonder what Jack wants to see on television tonight.
He mentioned that they were showing a picture of his, to be or not to be.
Oh, yes, I saw that years ago. That was a good one.
That was the good one.
Picture tonight. Ronnie, instead of playing bridge, maybe we can all watch.
No, you don't, Benita. Not again, no. We saw his last television show. Imagine him trying to make love to Faye Emerson.
Well, now you brought it up, I suppose you're right. Why, Jack's age, he could be her father.
Yes, and the way he walks, he could be her mother. And that new character he had on, that...
Oh, yeah, John L.C. Savoni.
Yeah, yes, what a routine he had. I wasn't doing anything. Sitting around the house, not doing anything. Here I go.
Bonnie, you're just being silly. You know, why don't we... Oh, my goodness, that must be the Rawlinsons now.
Yeah.
Yes, Sherwood. I decided that since Mr. and Mrs. Coleman weren't home, I'd just come over and watch television.
But, Mr. Benny.
But the call of that man. He came over anyway.
Bonnie, what'll we do?
Well, quick, Benita. We'll hide in the next room. Imagine having to hide in our own house. Benita, look through the keyhole and see if Sherwood got rid of him.
All right.
Has Jack gone yet?
No, he hasn't. In fact, he's coming into the living room and he's sitting down in your armchair.
Maybe he's just going to sit there for a minute and then he'll go.
I don't think so. He's taking off his shoes.
Taking off his shoes? Benita, we're trapped. It's evident that he intends to stay for the evening.
What do we do?
Well, there's only one thing we can do. We'll go out the back door, walk around to the front, and make him think we're just coming home from somewhere.
Good. Let's go.
Benita, Ronnie, come on in.
Jack. What are you doing here?
Well, I...
And why did you answer the door? Where's Sherwood?
I gave him the night off.
You gave him the night off, but we're having guests over.
Well, Sherwood told me you were out for the evening.
No, no, we were just out to a
cocktail party.
A cocktail party? Well, it must have been a very informal affair.
Informal?
You're wearing your bathrobe.
Well, it was a costume cocktail party.
Oh, that must be the Rawlinsons. I'll get it. Well, Herbert, Janet, come on in.
Hello, Ronnie. Benita.
I do hope we're not late.
No, no, Herbert, come right in.
My, this is a lovely home you have here.
Yes, yes, it certainly is nice. Here, you may take my coat.
I'm not the butler.
I should have introduced you. This is our next-door neighbor, Jack Benny. Jack, this is Mr. and Mrs. Rawlinson.
Rawlinson? Rawlinson. See, the name is so familiar.
We live here in Beverly Hills.
Oh. Are you the no-starch or the rough-dry Rawlinson?
I'm afraid I don't...
Miss Benny's a comedian. He's always making jokes.
Yes, yes. Did you hear the one?
Come on. Let's go into the next room and play bridge.
But what about Mr. Benny?
Oh, he's going to stay here and watch his picture on television.
Yes, yes. Have a good game.
Thank you. I see you have everything all set up.
Yes, there's one thing Ronnie's serious about, his bridge playing.
Yes, let's cut for deal, Herbert. 9-6. You deal.
Benita, it must be amusing living next door to a professional comedian.
Oh, it's rather fun. Sometimes he gets Ronnie hysterical, doesn't he, Ronnie?
Yes, sometimes I foam at the mouth.
Hey, has something strange happened in Beverly Hills lately?
No. Why?
Well, as we drove up your street, there was a buzzard circling overhead.
That is strange.
It's your bid, Herbert. I pass.
Two clubs.
By me.
Two no trumps.
By.
Four clubs.
By.
Five clubs. Pass.
Pass.
Pass. You're a dummy, eh, Ronnie?
That's right.
It's your lead, Janet.
Well, how's the game coming along?
But, Jack, I thought you were watching your picture on television.
No, they made an announcement saying they're postponing it till next week. They're going to show it on Tuesday. You know, that's a good night.
Good night.
No. No. I wasn't leaving. Well, you both go ahead with your game. Don't worry about little me. I'll just watch.
Well, it's my lead. I'll play the eight of hearts.
Two of hearts on the table.
Queen of hearts.
Let's see. I think I'll play...
No.
Not that one.
I don't know what to do.
Play the black three and freeze the deck. I mean, that's what I do.
Jack, we're playing bridge, not canasta.
Oh, well, I can't see from way back here.
If I move over, perhaps you can...
Herbert, you knocked the ashtray off the table.
Oh, what a shame. I got ashes all over the rug.
That's all right. I'll clean it up. I'll get the Hoover, Herbert. You get it, folks? Don't you get it? Herbert Hoover. You see, that's what we comedians call a switch, you know?
Ronnie, you're foaming at the mouth today.
Look, Jack. We're trying to play bridge, so if you don't mind, would you please...
I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Coleman. This is Rochester.
Oh, yes?
I fixed Mr. Benny's television set, and I heard them announce that Mr. Benny's picture was called off.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, without beating around the bush, would you like to get rid of him?
Yes, I would.
Then tell him I just heard the burglar alarm go off in his vault.
Just a minute. Jack?
Yes?
Rochester's on the phone, and he said that the burglar alarm in your vault just went off.
Oh, my goodness.
I told him, Rochester.
I know, he's here.
Let me ask you something. Did the burglar alarm really go off?
No, and my birthday is March 23rd.
Thank you, Rochester.
Ladies and gentlemen, the American Heart Association is conducting a national fundraising drive during the month of February. Your money will be used for research, education, and for community service. So won't you please help support the 1951 Heart Campaign? Send your contribution to Heart, care of your post office. Thank you.
Jack will be back in just a moment, but first, with Washington's birthday almost here, let's go back to colonial days.
The only thing that I prefer to dancing minuet is smoking milder, richer tasting Lucky cigarette. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
You folks call me a minute man, but I don't need a minute to tell you why a Lucky Strike has more enjoyment in it. Every puff proves Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go Lucky, be happy, go Lucky Strike, be happy, go Lucky, go Lucky Strike today.
Remember, friends, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. You see, fine tobacco and only fine tobacco can give you the perfect mildness and rich taste that make a cigarette completely enjoyable. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So if you're not completely happy with your cigarette, and a 38-city survey shows millions are not, switch to Lucky Strike. You'll get complete smoking enjoyment, the perfect mildness and rich taste that Lucky Strike and only Lucky Strike can give you. Yes, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. So be happy, go Lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go Lucky, go Lucky Strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
All right, Benita, it's your bid.
One spade, two clubs.
Let's see. Excuse me.
Jack! I forgot my shoes. They're over there by the table. I'll get them.
Thank you.
you can hear Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman on their own program, The Halls of Ivy. Be sure to hear Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day.
From Hollywood, the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. At Alice's suggestion, Phil and Frankie have been attending a first aid class so they could help in the civilian defense effort. Last night, their instructor gave them a bandaging lesson to practice, and now as we look in, they are just finishing their homework.
Said we couldn't do it. Hey, look at that. Neat bandaging job, ain't it, Remley?
Yes, sir, Curly. We know what we're doing every minute.
Every minute.
Too bad we didn't have a live person to work on instead of this thing.
Well, you know, Remley, we can't have everything. Hey, Willie, how do you like the bandaging job we did?
Get this gauze off of my face!
Uh-oh, the bandage ain't tight enough. I can still hear him.
Huh?
Look, I'll just wrap it around his face a little tighter like this.
Don't you dare, Philip. I'm warning you.
There, he's completely covered. I've bandaged him from head to toe, and there ain't a single opening.
Thanks to me.
What do you mean, thanks to you? What did you do?
I filled in the cracks with cement.
Good, good, good. Hey, you know, our first aid teacher's going to be proud of us. I can just see her face when we bring this into class.
Yeah. Hey, Curly, you pour a little cement over his head, and I'll even it out with the trowel.
Okay.
Phil, what have you fellas been doing in here all morning? Phil, where on earth did you get that sloppy-looking mummy?
It ain't a mummy, but you're close.
This is the most gruesome-looking thing I've ever seen.
That's no way to talk about your brother, Willie.
That's Willie?
Yeah. Looks good, don't he?
Now, Bill Harris, you get those bandages off him right away.
But, honey, this is our homework. Besides, he's all right in there. I'll show you. Hey, Willie, are you all right in there? Didn't answer.
Let me listen, I'll tell you. He's still alive. His heart's beating nice and fast. Or is that his watch?
I hope it's his watch. I gave it to him for Christmas.
Oh, Phil Harris, what have you done? Poor Willie can't breathe. Now take that bandage off his head immediately.
Okay, okay. Hand me that sledgehammer, Remley.
Yeah.
Phil, don't you... Oh, Willie. Willie, are you all right? Speak to me. Say something.
Sis, for the last time, let's go to Reno and get rid of this beast.
Well, what's the idea of bandaging you, Willie, like this?
Well, we're just following our teacher's instructions. She told us to work on the dummy. That's the only one we could find.
What's the matter with you guys? You stupid or something?
Now, wait a minute. Don't be picking on me. I'm only taking this course because you insisted. I don't have to learn about first aid. I know all about it.
You do, huh? Supposing Willie had passed out, what would you have done?
I know what to do when a guy passes out.
All right, what do you do?
You put him under a cold shower, give him plenty of black coffee and a can of cold tomatoes. Sure cure. Works on Remley every week.
You fellas better forget about this first aid course.
But Alice, we want to do something to help our country.
Go join the other side.
Oh, honey, listen to us, because Frank is right. We ought to do something.
Well, if you want to help, why don't you do the one thing you're suited for?
How would sinking an 8-ball in the side pocket help the country?
William, I'll thank you to keep 1 foot on the floor when you say that.
Now,
Now, look, why don't you fellas go to one of the army camps and entertain the boys?
Hey, that's a great idea. Frankie, you and me can do the same act we used to do in the Coast Guards.
Yeah.
The guys loved that.
Oh, that'll be wonderful, fellas. And I'll go along and be in the act with
you. No, honey, no. You'd be out of place. You wouldn't fit.
What do you mean?
This is the army. There'll be 10,000 guys there. They don't want to see a woman.
What army are you talking about?
Look, Alice, do me a favor, will you? Go call the USO and find out if they want any entertainers in this area.
All right, Phil.
Hey, Curly, we'll be sensational. I got a great way to open the act. You sing.
Yeah, and then we'll get off to a great... Frankie, you want a little Wonga to sing?
Yeah, and I want you to sing Oh, What a Face, your new Victor recording that just came out yesterday and is already sweeping the country and is destined to become a great hit.
Gee, that's nice of you to say that, Frankie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now take your thumb out of my eye.
He carries her picture in his pocket. 'Twas taken the day he went to sea. He carries her picture in his locket, though she is as ugly as can be. Oh, what a face.
Oh, what a face.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace
to be showing it in any public place. One morning he took her to a pig farm. He told her to wait down by the rail. But when he returned, he couldn't find her. The farmer had put her up for sale. Oh, what a face.
Oh, what a face.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace
to be showing it in any public place. She always liked to watch the horses when they were racing at the track. Until the day she wandered near the stable and the jockey threw a saddle on her back. Oh, what a kisser.
What a
mat. Oh, what a mishap.
Oh, my hat.
To be showing it in any public trap. Her father arranged for her to marry some fella who had never seen the bride. But when she raised the veil to let him kiss her, he screamed and then committed suicide.
Oh, what a face.
Oh, Fay is mere.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace to be showing it in any public place. He carried her picture in his pocket. He kept it till his ship went down at sea. 'Twas then that he took the little locket and packed it in a box and set it free. And now that picture in the locket is floating around from sea to sea. And if by chance you ever find it, don't open it up or you will see that awful face. It's a disgrace to be showing it in any public place.
Gee, I'm crazy about those love ballads.
Huh?
Curly, with that kind of entertainment, you think they'll want us at a camp?
Are you kidding, Dwight? Why, as soon as they find out it's me, they'll beg us to come.
Well, Phil, I called the USA and it's all set.
Oh, honey, you mean the USO, don't you?
USO.
Well, it's
what
in the USA. Time? You're half right. Told us we could. Hey, listen, Remley, you hear that? I told you what they. Hey, Alice, did you tell them that it was me who was coming up to entertain?
Yes, but they said to come anyway. The only thing is, Phil, they want us to appear at the camp tonight. The show they had planned was canceled.
Well, what's the difference? We can do it tonight. We remember the act. Hey, Remley, we open with you and me and the girl, and then we. Oh, nuts.
What's the matter?
Well, don't you remember? We used to work with a homely girl. We got laughs off her looks, remember? We got to have a homely girl for the act.
Oh, yeah. Well, where are we going to get a homely girl? Oh, Alice.
Hold it, beanbag.
No, no, I didn't mean it that way, Alice. I thought maybe you could make up to look homely.
Yeah, you know, honey. Pin your hair up, tie one of them bandanas around it, and put some goo all over your face, and then smear it with... You know, like you look when you go to bed at night.
All right, all right. We're going to have the act ready for tonight. We better get started rehearsing. Huh?
Okay, now look, honey, you saw the act. You remember the jokes, don't you?
Who doesn't? Oh, Phil, you're not going to do those tired old chestnuts.
Wait a minute, them jokes ain't old. Now let's run through the act. Now remember, we come on with an opening song like this. I'm Harris.
I'm Remley.
I'm Faye.
We're here to entertain you today with songs and happy chatter and bits of snappy patter. We're Harris and Remley and Faye.
Well, what are you laughing at? Nothing's happened yet.
We know what's coming.
Hey, Harris, did the doctor tell you how to prevent catching all those colds?
Yep, he told me to wear a nightcap when I went to bed. I tried it, but I couldn't sleep.
Why not?
The ginger ale kept dripping in my eyes. Oh, get us a booth at the fair, Mother. We're popping that corn. Say, Remley, yeah. I hear that your new girlfriend is an Irish Colleen. What does she look like?
Well, you know that song, A Little Bit of Heaven Fell from Out the Sky One Day?
Yeah, what about it?
When it fell, it must have hit her right in the kisser. Will you meet my girl, Harris?
Yoo-hoo! Frankie, yoo-hoo!
Why, here comes McCushler now.
Yeah, hiya, Cush.
Fresh.
What makes you think you can pick up a strange girl whose phone number is Hollywood 8426? If a man answers, that's me. I found that way in the morning.
This is Irish.
Hey, McCushler, why are you late for our appointment?
I couldn't help it. On the way down, I gave a couple of servicemen a lift.
Why should that make you late?
I haven't got a car, and it ain't easy carrying those guys on the back. Yahoo!
Don't overdo it, honey. You're getting a little too old for that leg kicking.
Well, be that as it may, I gotta get going. I got a new job. I'm a sopper in a shipyard.
A sopper in a shipyard?
Yeah. When they break a bottle of champagne over a ship, I stay down below and sop it up.
And so, fellas, it's time to go now. But keep remembering, I'm Harris.
I'm Remley.
I'm Faye.
We're sorry to leave you today. We hope you like our chatter and bits of snappy patter. We're Harris and Remley and Faye.
They must be kidding.
Harris and Remley and Faye.
Oh, Jenny, dear. What are you characters trying to do?
We're rehearsing our act.
This is an act?
Yeah, this is an act. Didn't you hear our routines?
Yeah, I've been standing here listening to them corny jokes. What are you doing, getting ready for television?
No, we're not getting ready for television. We're going to do this act at the army camps.
You can't do that to our boys. Ain't it bad enough they was drafted?
Oh, keep quiet. We got talent. The government asked us to help out in the last war. They even sent us overseas to entertain, and the troops loved us.
They did? I'm surprised those Japanese soldiers were able to understand you.
We did it for the American side. Didn't we, Remley?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure we did it.
Well, Julius, I'm going to be in the act, too.
Don't do it, Miss Faye. Don't become a party to that subversive activity.
All right. We can prove we got a good act. We're going to the camp right now, and if you come along, smart guy, you can see for yourself.
I wouldn't miss it for...
for the world. Say, fellas, it's late. It'll take us a couple of hours to get to the camp. We'd better go. I'll get my coat and you get the car out.
All right, honey, okay. Come on, Frankie. Yep. And you too, Julius.
Philip, before you go, may I ask a favor?
Oh, it's you, Willie. Gee, I forgot about you. What do you want?
Will you please take the rest of the bandages off my body?
I haven't got time now, Willie. Later. All right, Alice, you ready?
I'll be with you as soon as I get my music.
Now I'm supposed to say what music? She says the music for my song. I say what song, and zip, she's into it like
Who cares if the sky cares to fall in the sea? Who cares what banks fail in your girls? Long as you've got a kiss that conquers, why should I care? Life is one long jubilee. So long as I care for you and you care for me.
Let it rain and thunder, let a million firms go under.
I love you and you love me, and that's how it will always be. Nothing else can ever mean a thing.
Who cares if the public chatters? Love's the only thing that matters.
Who cares if the sky cares to fall in the sea? Who cares what banks fail in Yonkers? Long as you've got a kiss that conquers,
why should I care?
Life is one long jubilee.
As long as I care for you, and you care for me.
Hey, this is a big camp. And don't the soldiers look smart in their uniforms?
They sure do. Gee, I wish I was old enough to be drafted.
So do I.
You wish you was in the army, Mr. Harris?
No, I wish you was.
Hey, how do we get in this place?
Well, we just go up to the gate and show them our passes. Oh, my goodness, they told me to stop at the USO and pick up passes, and I forgot. Oh, gosh, now how are we going to get in?
Honey, you're forgetting you're with Phil Harris. Everybody recognizes me. My face opens any door.
So that's how your face got that way, from opening doors.
Kid, I wish you'd be quiet, will you please? As soon as that guard over there sees me, he'll open them gates like that. Watch this. All right, son, you can open them gates now and let us in.
No tourists allowed on a post.
Tourists? Take another look, bud. Now tell me, who am I?
You don't know either, huh?
You mean to stand there in your big fat army shoes and tell me that you don't know who I am?
No, I don't.
Oh, this guy's been in too long. Look, bud, I'll give you a hint. Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Yeah. Now, do you know who I am?
Yeah, but even if you are Kay Kaiser, you're not getting in.
Hey, Kaiser. If he'd have said Burl Ives or Von Monroe, but Kay Kaiser. They even settled for Rudy Valley. Soldier, I guess I'm going to have to tell you who I am. I'm Phil Harris.
It don't make no difference who you are. You're not getting in here without a pass.
Step aside, Curly. I'll get us in. Look, soldier, my name is Remley, and I...
Remley!
You mean Frankie Remley, the world's greatest left-hand guitar player? The man who's heard by millions of people on the radio every Sunday?
In person? How do I get in?
Beat it, you bum.
You wait a minute. Nobody can talk to me like
now,
that
Frankie,
and get away.
Frankie, control yourself. You fellas aren't doing so well. I'll show you how to get in. Oh, soldier, will you please open the gate for me?
Now, look, I told you I won't. Well. Keep the general lit in the window, Sergeant. I'm coming in late tonight.
All right. Hold it, soldier. This girl happens to be...
Quiet, you 4F. Now then, what do you want, Blondie?
Can I come in?
No, but if you wait there, I'll come out.
But I'd rather come in, and I'm sure a great big, handsome man like you wouldn't refuse little old me. Would you?
Curly, what's she trying to do?
Darn if I know. I think she's giving an imitation of Sophie Tucker. Hey, look, soldier, I'm trying to tell
Get
you...
Get lost, Grandpa. You know something, honey? You're a cute dish.
You soldiers are all alike. They told me that during the last war.
And the war before that. And the war before that.
All right! Just trying to get us in.
Well, you don't have to act like a bilious Tallulah. You can see the guy ain't gonna let us in.
Oh, he will if I tell him who I am. Look, soldier. I happen to be Alice Faye.
Alice Faye?
Mm-hmm.
The big moving picture star from 20th Century Fox? Oh, gee, Miss Faye, I've always wanted to meet you. Would you do me a big favor?
What is it?
Can you get me a pin-up picture of Betty Grable?
Betty Grable, boy, I don't...
Wait a minute, Alice, wait a minute. Can't you see we're wasting our time? This guy ain't gonna let us in. Now, you wait here with Julius, and me and Frankie will try another gate. Come on, Remley.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in this place if I have to tear it apart.
Come on, Julius. Let's you and I sit in the car.
Yeah, you wait in the car, Miss Faye. I want to talk to this soldier. Hey, mister. Gee, you're lucky to be in the Army.
Yeah, ain't I?
How did you manage to get in?
I got pulled. A bribe here, a bribe there.
I'd love to be in uniform, but I'm not old enough. Hey, maybe you can help me. Would you tell me how to get in?
I'll make a deal with you. I'll tell you how to get in if you tell me how to get out.
I don't understand. I've always wanted to be in the service. I think it's the finest thing in the world for young fellas. You know, the good food and the... Hey, who are all them civilians with the suitcases getting out of the bus?
Ah, that's a new batch of draftees just coming in. Now, run along, kid. I got work to do. All right, you guys, fall in. Well, no talking. You're in the Army now. Left face. Forward hatch. Hap, hoo, hee, haw. Hap, hoo, hee, haw. Which one of you guys is hopping?
So, those are the new draftees, huh? That's one way of getting in. I wonder
Hey, Julius, where's Alice?
She's sitting in the car. Did you have any luck at the other gate?
Nah, they wouldn't let us in there either.
There must be some way of getting in here.
Fellas, I think I know a way you two can get in here.
Oh, you do? How?
Do you see that bunch of civilians marching in now? The guys with the suitcases?
Yeah, who are they?
That's the band that's going to play for the USO show. Just get on the end of the line and follow them.
Yeah? Oh, well, thanks, kid. We'll follow them. Hey, look, in the meantime, you go get Alice. Come on, Remley.
Yeah.
At last, we're going to get in.
And how are you going to get in?
I feel like a heel doing this to our army. But, say la guerre.
All right, you monkeys, you're soldiers now. Break ranks and report to barracks.
Remley.
What?
How'd we get these GI haircuts? And these uniforms. Take a look at these uniforms. My coat is shorter than the haircut. How about these shoes?
Don't bother me, will you? I'm still weak from the shots they gave me. Curly, what happened to us?
Well, now, let me see. We followed these civilians in. Two guys grabbed us, cut our hair, threw uniforms on us, and the next thing I knew, we were standing here with a tin plate full of spam.
Who said this country can't mobilize fast?
Mobilize? Remley, we've been drafted.
Watch your language, Curly. Hey, we must have gotten the wrong line. What are we going to do?
Now, don't get excited. Don't you understand? It's all a mistake. Come on. We're going to get out of here. Come
on. That's a big place. How do we get out?
Well, we get somebody to open the gate for us. There's got to be some... Hey. Hey, look there.
Mm-hmm.
There comes a nice-looking old man. See him? Yeah. The guy with the three stars on his shoulder.
What do three stars mean?
Who knows? I'll ask him. Hmm. Hey, Hennessy!
Are you talking to me, soldier?
You don't see nobody else around, do you?
Stand at attention and salute me.
Look, Mac, I'm 100 years old. I ain't got no time to play no games with you.
What a flagrant display of insubordination. I have a good mind to have
Take
you...
Take it easy, Pop. Yeah, watch your blood pressure. Better watch that blood, Doc. At your age, you're liable to pop wide open.
You men know who I am.
Hey, Remley. Maybe this is Kay Kaiser.
I happen to be the CO. Do you know what CO means?
Yes. It's an abbreviation for company. We went to school, you know. Now tell me, what does INC mean?
Well, that means incorporated. In other words, when a company has a board of directors, they... Quiet!
You're the only one who's talking.
Silence! But when you're talking to a superior officer, stand at attention.
Okay, okay. If you want to make like MacArthur, I'll go along with the gag. I'm at attention.
Look smart, soldier.
Look smart? That leaves you out, Remley.
Quiet! Throw your chest out and pull your stomach in. When you throw your chest out, pull your stomach in.
I can't. At my age, they go together.
I'm going to have you court-martialed for this. What company are you with?
Well, first I was with Fitz Shampoo. Then I went with Rexall, and they found out, and I ain't got no sponsor. Would you care to sponsor us? I think we could peddle generals on the air. You can get us cheap. We'd love to work...
Oh, no. How do they expect me to get an army out of these morons they're sending me? For the last time, what company are you with? A, B, D, or F?
Let's humor him, Curly. Pick a letter.
Okay, we'll pick B.
You're with Company B? Well, thank heavens I won't have to put up with you much longer.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Company B sails for overseas tonight.
Overseas? Did you hear that, Remley?
You jerk. 26 letters in the alphabet. You ought to pick the one that's going overseas.
Now, look, sir, we're really not in the army, you see.
Silence! I'm putting you two in the guardhouse until sailing time.
You can't do that, Doug.
We're
You're not
going
to do
it.
That.
Hold
on. You are putting us in the guardhouse. These men in the guardhouse.
Wait a minute. Hey, Alice. Gee, it was a good thing that you got here and cleared this whole thing up. They wouldn't believe that we weren't soldiers.
If it hadn't been for you, we would have been on our way overseas now.
Come on, let's go home before you two disrupt the entire defense program. And tell me something. How did you fellas manage to get into the army in the first place?
Well, it was like this.
We were walking along, minding our business, when out of an army...
Now hear Hedda Hopper's informal show, then Theater Guilds on NBC.
Buck Benny. It's a two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. This week's going just crazy. Anyway, here's a podcast that's a day late or so. But anyway, let's go with this. Our winners for the I Can't Stand Buck Benny contest or I Love Jack Benny contest, whatever you want to call it, are as follows. So here's one of our winners. I picked two. This is Dave. And Dave says, I want to tell you that your podcast has what your podcast has meant to me. I stumbled across it on TuneIn Radio about a year or so ago. Jack Benny was a favorite of my grandpa, and I love knowing I am listening to the same program he heard all those years ago. It is reliving history. However, on a more personal note, over the last couple of years, I was subjected to severe harassment and hostile environment at my work. This caused great stress, anxiety, and panic attacks. After work each day, I would come home and get into bed and try and calm down and recover from this treatment. Once in bed, I immediately turned on your podcast, hearing Bing sing Someone Waits for Me, or the violin on the violin, followed by It Isn't the Breeze, Just Let Me Relax, and I know I had survived another day. Listening helps help my anxiety melt away for a few precious hours. I finally quit my job after 17 years. I can't tell you how important your podcast has been to my recovery. It has become a trusted friend. Thank you so much for all your hard work. From Dave. Thanks, Dave, in Michigan. Dave, I'm so glad that my podcast helped you in any way. And I just love these letters that I've gotten from people over time that says how listening to old-time radio shows really helps them get through their lives and makes everything, puts everything in perspective, I guess. Anyway, so, Dave, you're one of my winners, so congratulations. And let's find the other one. Here is our other winning entry. I started listening to Buck Benny 2 years ago. Shortly after I started listening, my then 11-year-old son would listen with me. I loved it because he was too old, in his eyes, for me to read him bedtime stories. But this was a cherished time he and I spent together each night before bed. Every night he asked if he could listen to the Jack Benny Show with me. 6 months ago, we moved from Illinois to Arizona. My son is now 13 and in 8th grade. He is terribly homesick for Illinois and misses it incredibly. Seeing how painful this transition has been for him has almost been more than my husband and I can bear. The one thing that brings him comfort and solace is listening to Buck Benny and the Jack Benny Show every night before bed. I think by listening to it, it gives him a connection with Illinois, a constant that is still there every night. I could never thank you enough for the gift of laughter that you've given my son. To see a glimmer of that old Jason when he laughs out loud while listening to your show each night has given me hope for these past 6 months that he is going to be okay. It's been a long road, but he is slowly adjusting to life in Arizona. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the lifetime, for the lifeline your show has been to my son. I will never get tired of him asking, Mom, can we listen to Buck Benny tonight? Thank you, and thank you to your family for the sacrifice of your time to provide this service. From Valerie in Arizona. Thank you so much, Valerie and Jason, and you're my other winner. I'm just glad. It's neat how both of these winners of our contest both share how the podcast has helped them through hard situations. And I just hope that does that for a lot of listeners. Anyway, without further ado, on to the show. Hello again. This is Buck Benny talking. Welcome to a historic episode of the Jack Benny Show in a lot of ways. First, you know, sometimes I feel like Jack's sort of sitting over my shoulder telling me what to say. I was going to have this be a different podcast, but I was trying to look up something, and I didn't find it, but I found something else that I want to read you. So Anyway, this is a quote from Jack Benny from his book, Sunday Nights at 7, page 108. Let's see. Today the world has changed so much, and I have changed so much, and black men and women have achieved dignity and standing in American life, and I would never have any character who was as broad and racially delineated along negative lines as was the old Rochester. But remember, you who look back with perhaps contempt or patronizing pity on the old radio programs, that like most entertainers of that period, I was brought up in another time and in another place. I developed and learned my trade in vaudeville. In the golden days of vaudeville, there were blackface comics, and there were black comics like Bert Williams. There were also Swedish comics, Jewish comics, Dutch comics, Italian comics, and Scotch comics. Bad as you think this kind of humor was, I think it was a way that America heated up the national groups and the ethnic groups in a melting pot and made one people of us all, or tried to do so. Everybody loved ethnic humor during vaudeville, and often the people who were being ridiculed most enjoyed the kind of ethnic humor aimed at their own group. During World War II, attributes changed. Hitler's ideology of Aryan supremacy put all ethnic humor in a bad light. It became bad taste to have Jewish jokes, Italian jokes, and Negro jokes. But let me tell you this. I never felt, and I do not feel today, that Rochester and Mr. Kitzel were socially harmful. You don't hate a race when you're laughing with it. You couldn't hate Rochester. You loved Kitzel. You loved Rochester. And let me say something else. I didn't hire Rochester because I was fighting for equal rights. I hired him because he was good. He was the best man for the part of my butler, and he got better and better and funnier as the years went by. When the black man's fight for equal rights and fair play became an issue after the war, I would no longer allow Rochester to say or do anything that an audience would consider degrading to the dignity of a modern Afro-American. And I just think that's really appropriate for us to share today. I'm also going to take a clip from the very end of this episode and bring it up to the beginning. I'm still going to leave it where it is, too, so you'll hear it twice. But it's just, I don't know if everybody's going to stay tuned in, and I think it's really important. Jack does a lot of public service announcements on his show, and this is one of the most important ones, I believe. What I was going to originally cover, and I'll cover it just really quickly here, is this episode has Rochester coming back from being lost at sea, okay? In real life, Eddie Anderson was lost at sea during this week, and they didn't know. They were rewriting the script all the way through the week because they didn't know if he was going to be dead, if he was going to be found, what was going to happen. And luckily, he was found, and he was okay. But they figured because it made all the newspapers and because everybody around the world knew that Rochester had been lost at sea, that they better include it in the script. So it is included in the script. And so it's just one of those weird places in Jack Benny history where reality and fantasy kind of combine to make some new thing. The other thing you're going to notice about this episode, unfortunately, because I run 4 episodes a week, and sometimes Jack, especially in the later episodes, will refer back to things from earlier scripts and so forth. And not even refer back, but actually take pieces of those scripts. So Sunday night's episode was pretty firmly based on parts of this episode. So you're going to hear things, some of the same bits, especially with Professor LeBlanc's scene is really similar to the one from 5 years later. And this episode has him flipping channels on the radio, whereas the Sunday night show had him flipping channels on the television set, because in 5 years, television kind of went out somewhat. I mean, radio went out and television came in, so that's kind of what happens. But it's kind of interesting to hear the two back to back. But then the later part of the episode totally changes, of course, this one with Rochester lost at sea and so forth, and the great ending social service announcement. And so, anyway, without further ado, I'm going to bring you that service announcement, and then we will go into the episode. If I feel like I need to explain something after the announcement, I'll come back on. I'm just not sure. But anyway, enjoy this historic episode of the Jack Benny Show.
This is American Brotherhood Week. Brotherhood. There's much more to it than the word itself implies. Many of us feel that we are practicing it if we have consideration or respect for our immediate circle of friends. Well, that's not enough. We should have it for all people everywhere. The color of a man's skin and the church he goes to is a mighty poor yardstick to use in measuring his character. And to have a contempt for an entire race because of color or creed is unthinkable. If you want to know how it feels, think back to when the Germans and the Japanese thought themselves superior races and said that all Americans were decadent, criminal, and stupid. Our anger and indignation flared at the thought of Americans being called decadent, criminal, and stupid. And yet, if we tolerate racial and religious discrimination, we are. I think I saw brotherhood at its best when I was overseas during the war. When men are fighting for their lives and the lives of their fellows, racial and religious issues are relegated to their proper place of unimportance. I never heard a wounded man complain about being carried back to a field hospital by a Negro, or ask whether the blood plasma he was getting was Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish. You know, a bullet is a very democratic thing. So let's remember and perpetuate these battlefield lessons and carry them through our lives to make a better world. There is a verse in the song, America the Beautiful, that should mean a lot to all of us. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And crown thy good with brotherhood. That is our heritage. Let's live up to it.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by... Let that famous chant remind you that Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
Sure thing.
That's right.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
At 49, American.
Quality of product is essential to continuing success.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy the finer, the lighter, the naturally milder Lucky Strike tobacco.
That's right. L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. The finer, the lighter, the naturally milder Lucky Strike tobacco. And this fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
From Palm Springs, California, the Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rod Chester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, may I recite a little poem? Last Thursday was St. Valentine's Day, the day when love is in bloom. It's also Jack Benny's birthday.
Nobody leave this room.
Hello, folks.
Thank you. And Don, let me tell you something. I'm very proud of the fact that I was born in February, the same month as George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Just think, Washington, Lincoln, and Benny. The first big three. George, Abe, and Jack. And you know, Don, it was just a stroke of luck that I arrived in February. I was supposed to be born in March.
In March? Well, then how come you were born in February?
Well, the stork was flying south for the winter, and he didn't want to come back just for me. It's a long trip, you know.
Well, anyway, Jack, congratulations on passing another milestone.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, how old are you now?
37. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
37? Why, Jack, you said you were 37 last year.
And now, ladies and gentlemen...
And the year before.
And now, ladies and...
And the year before that, you said you were 37.
Don, when you're happy with something, why leave it? Anyway, a lot you care. You didn't even come to my birthday party.
Well, I'm very sorry, Jack. I got your invitation, but I had to go back to Los Angeles.
Oh.
And, Jack, there was one thing about the invitation I didn't quite understand.
What was that, Don?
Well, it said, you are cordially invited to attend my birthday party on Thursday. 15, 34, 11. What do those numbers mean?
They're the sizes of my shirts, underwear, and socks. I knew you'd want to bring something. I used to put RSVP, and what did I get? Nothing. So from now on, I'm not taking
it. Hello, Jack. How are you, Don?
Well,
hello, Mary. Hello. Say, Mary, Don and I were just talking about my birthday party. We had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yeah, you should have been there, Don. We played charades and post office and spin the bottle.
Yeah.
And then we played blind man's buff. And you should have seen Jack when he was it.
What'd he do, Mary? Tie a handkerchief around his eyes?
No, he just turned out the lights. He figured he'd have fun and save money at the same time.
Same time. Your sister Babe would have fit in blind man's buff.
Then about 11 o'clock, we all got hungry, so Rochester brought in Jack's birthday cake.
Oh, birthday cake, huh? How'd it taste?
I don't know. By the time we took all the candles off it, I wasn't hungry anymore.
Mary, just be glad that I sent you an invitation to my party, that's all.
Say, Jack, I meant to ask you about that invitation. It said, you are cordially invited to attend my birthday party on Thursday. S.O.S. What does S.O.S. mean?
Short on socks. I always have to remind you... I always have to remind... Oh, for heaven's sake, that's the cue for Phil Harris. He's not even here yet.
Well, maybe he's at the Lone Palm getting potted.
I don't care. I don't care where he is. We've got to get on with the show. Mary, you take his lines.
Oh, Jack, I can't read Phil's lines.
Mary, we can't hold up the show. Now, go ahead and read Phil's part. I'll give you the cue again. Short on socks.
Okay, folks, here's your favorite pixie. Harris is here, and he's right from Dixie. Appreciate me. Appreciate me.
Phil, I wish you'd stop coming in here with those corny entrances. And another thing...
Hey, Jackson, I got a joke that'll murder you. Ask me what the wallpaper said to the wall.
Phil.
Go ahead, ask me.
All right, Phil. What did the wallpaper say to the wall?
You may be plastered, but I'll stick to you anyway. Oh, Harris, you're like a strong theater seat. You never let the audience down. Love it, love it, love it.
Now, Phil, the next time...
Ladies and gentlemen, for the benefit of those who tuned in late, the part of Phil Harris is being played by Mary Livingston.
Well, it's no use, Mary. Even you can't save those kind of jokes. Let's have a song from Larry Stevens while we're waiting for Phil. Oh, Larry.
Here I am, Mr. Benny. Say, Mr. Benny, I want to thank you for inviting me to your party. I sure had a good time.
At my party? Larry, I didn't see you there. When'd you come in?
When you were playing Blind Man's Buff.
Oh, did I say hello to you?
No, but you kissed me twice.
Oh. Well, kid, when you get a little older and grow a beard, I won't make that mistake. Now, let's have a song, Larry.
Okay. By the way, Mr. Benny, there was one thing I didn't understand about that invitation you sent me.
What was that, kid?
Well, it said you are cordially invited to attend my birthday party on Thursday. GTDTKWIN. What does that mean?
Go to Desmond's. They know what I need. Thing, kid. And thanks for the bicycle clip. It was just my size, by the way. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. The snowman in the yard is frozen hard. He's a sorry sight to see. If he had a brain, he'd complain. Bet he wishes he were me. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
That was Larry Stevens singing Let It Snow. The title is really Let It Snow, Let It Snow. You're supposed to say it twice. But we have a very long show, and if we take up too much time, the tobacco auctioneer at the end of the program will have to hurry, and you won't be able to understand a thing he said. So in view of the fact that we're trying to save time, I had to change the title of Larry's song from Let It Snow, Let It Snow, to just Let It Snow. And now, folks,
that line was originally Ladies and Gentlemen, but the genius cut it down to folks.
Yes, we save wherever we can. And that's why I changed the title of Larry's song.
Okay, folks, here's your favorite Pixie. Harris is here, and he's right from Dixie.
Well, we couldn't wait for you any longer, so Mary did your routine. Now go sit down.
Wait a minute, Jackson. I got a joke that'll murder you. Ask me what the wallpaper said to the wall.
Phil, Mary did that joke.
I don't care who did it. Go on, ask me what the wallpaper said to the wall.
All right, Phil, we'll do it again. What do the wallpaper say to the wall?
You might be a little cracked, but I got designs on you. They ought to put a slot in your head because your brains are like money in the bank. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah. What kind of language is that? How do you like that?
Ladies and gentlemen, for the benefit of those who tuned in late, aren't you glad you're you?
Phil, you're supposed to do what we rehearse and not bring in any new stuff. I got designs on you. Where'd you get that joke?
Well, I hired myself a writer, Jackson. I found him right here in Palm Springs.
A writer?
Yeah, he lives right over here on the Indian reservation.
Phil, I know Palm Springs is crowded, but why is he living on... No, I can't ask him. Mary, you do it.
Okay, Phil, I know Palm Springs is crowded, but why is he living on an Indian reservation?
Because he's an Indian.
I knew it. Phil, I don't know where you find them, but I never heard of an Indian writer.
Well, I think you're wrong, Jack. Some Indians are very good writers.
Sure, Jackson, this guy I've got not only writes jokes, but he writes commercials.
What?
Go ahead, Don, read him the one my writer gave you.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Me like 'em, lucky strike. Me send 'em smoke signals. L.S. M.F.T. Yum. L.S. M.F.T. Yum.
T-Yum?
Yes, sir. How? You betcha'em. Lucky strike, heap round. Heap firm. Heap fully packed. Heap free and easy on the draw.
Don.
Me heap big. Indian chief.
You big heap, that's all. What's that?
Shh. Signal come from reservation. It say, with Sioux Indian who know tobacco best, it's lucky Sioux to one.
Oh, is that Sue? Well.
Now, my good friend, L.A. Speed, Rain in Face.
Hiya, Walker, Minnetonka, Tippy Tippy, Cookamonga, Tomahawk, Wiggy, Whammy, Pet for Pussy, Salt, Iroquois.
Don? Don, that was very good. Very good. Now, let's... What are those horses' hoofs?
Commercial finish. Take them plug back to reservation.
Oh, me catch them on. And now, folks...
Ladies and gentlemen, for the benefit of you Indians who tuned in late, my face is red, too.
This is the craziest program we've done yet. What are we aiming at?
4:30. Seven 7:30 in the east. Yeah. Hey, Jackson, we better start getting sharp or we'll hear about it at 5:30. You know, that's when Fred Allen comes on. Phil, when you mention Fred Allen on this program, you must be closer to retirement than I think you are. I heard his program last week. While he was telling a joke, a long word got stuck in his nose sideways and he held up the show for 5 minutes. Don't tell me about Allen.
Oh, Jack, you're just mad because his picture is better than yours.
Mary, that's no comparison. Everybody's picture is better than mine. Now, let's forget about that ill wind from Allen's. Allen, sign for a band number. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, boys, filibuster.
Was Sweetheart, played by Phil Harris, and his sweetest music this side of Roger Stables Orchestra. And that's a...
For the benefit of those horses who tuned in late, Roger's Stable is a stable owned by Rogers.
Roger. I mean, thank you. Now, come on, kids. Let's keep the show moving.
Well, what's the hurry, Jackson?
Well, I'm having some important people over for dinner tonight, and I don't want to be late. See, Rochester's calling for me. By the way, Mary, remind me to pick up some salami on the way home, will you?
Okay.
Oh, Jack, I meant to ask you about Rochester. Is it true that he was lost for 2 days out on the ocean?
Yes. He was out in a boat near Catalina.
Yeah, I read about it, Jackson. I heard it on the radio, too.
Yeah. Funny thing, I didn't know anything about it until it was all over.
You didn't?
No. When I found out about it last Wednesday, I was home taking my violin lesson. You know, I still have my music teacher, Professor LeBlanc. Anyway, here's what happened.
No, 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 Monsieur Benny. Once more, you have made this same mistake.
I'm sorry, Professor LeBlanc. Shall I do it again?
Yes. And this time, please, take off your gloves.
Well, the strings are cold. All right.
Now commence. One and two and three and four and... Do
not hold your bow too tightly. It will help you play more lightly. Play it softer, not so brassy. Pull your tongue in, you're not lassy. No, mon de conscience, sacré bleu, Monsieur Benny, please tell me something. How long have you been playing the violin?
Well, ever since I can remember, I was a child prodigy.
I do not believe it.
That I was a prodigy?
No, that you were a child. Now, take it again, please.
Okay.
One and two and three and four and... Play it bright and not so dull, sir. This what gave me my ulcer. This time soft just like a pillow. What have I done to Petrillo?
How is that?
Very good. Here.
Oh, boy, another gold star. You know, Professor, someday I may be a great violinist.
You should live so long, and you already did.
Now, listen.
Child prodigy.
Well, I was. My father made me start playing the violin when I was seven.
Oh, so your father made you take up the violin?
Yes.
And where is your father now?
In Florida.
The coward. And now, Monsieur Benny, I guess the hour is up.
No, no, it isn't, Professor. When we started the lesson, I set the alarm clock. It'll ring when the hour is up.
All right. For this, I left Lockheed. Now, one and two and three and four and...
Well, how do you like that? He didn't even wait for me to pay him. Oh, well. I wonder if I should keep practicing. No, I can't stand it anymore. Oh, gee, I wish I hadn't told Rochester he could have a couple of days off. He does everything for me. So tired of sleeping with my clothes on. Well, I guess I'll turn on the radio.
I'm the Whistler. I walk by night.
Gee, that Whistler scares me. I've got such a nice painting of his mother. I'll try and get something else.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you nearsighted? When you're having breakfast, do you get too close to your hotcakes? Do you get molasses on your glasses? Do you suffer from middle-aged spread? Do your hips try to hurdle your girdle? If you suffer from these or any other ailments, why not try Sympathy Soothing Serum? Remember, sympathy spelled backwards is your tapamus. Y-H-T-A-P-M-Y-S.
Yes, your tapamus.
Drive your blues away.
He must have a new quartet there.
And now, folks, here is our Utapamus news reporter with a special item.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rochester Van Jones, who has been adrift in the Pacific Ocean for the last 2 days, has been found by the Coast Guard and towed into port.
What?
Rochester is the butler of that famous comedian, Jack Bentley.
That's Benny.
Our quartet will now sing their version of that new song hit, Yes, We Have No Bananas, Butter, or Sugar.
I don't want to hear that. Oh, my goodness, Rochester adrift in the Pacific. I didn't even know he was on a boat. Well, thank heaven he's safe. When he gets home, I'm going to... Maybe that's him. Hello?
Long distance call for Jack Bentley.
That's Benny. I'll take it.
Very well.
Hello? Hello? Hello, is this Rochester?
You were expecting Navy ship work, Kelly?
Rochester! Rochester, I just heard about you being in the ocean for 2 days. How are you?
Salty.
I know, but tell me what happened.
Well, boss, me and my friend Sam were about 20 miles off Catalina when we developed motor trouble. And you know I can't swim.
Uh-huh.
Then suddenly a big wave swept me overboard and I landed right next to a vicious-looking shark. So I got back to the boat fast.
Wait a minute. You just said you couldn't swim.
I didn't think I could run on water either, but I did.
Well, what happened then?
Well, when we weren't rescued after the first day, we realized we were in a tough spot. So we started sending out messages in bottles.
What did the messages say?
Send more bottles.
Rochester, I hope you weren't drinking out there.
Oh, no, boss. No, sir. But after the second day, we sure got hungry. And fortunately, a bird landed on back of the boat.
A bird? Good.
So I picked up my rifle, took aim, and I...
Rifle? Rochester, you wouldn't shoot a poor little bird.
No, I just wanted to frighten her enough to lay an egg.
Did you frighten her?
Did I? She laid 2 eggs, 3 strips of bacon.
Rochester, don't be ridiculous. A bird can't lay bacon.
Boss, when you got a gun in your face, you find out you got talent you never knew you had.
Never mind that. Now tell me, how did you get back to shore?
Well, the Coast Guard finally found us and towed us into the harbor.
Well, I'm glad it came out all right. It certainly was an unusual experience.
It sure was.
Rochester, what are you laughing at?
It's the first time I ever lost a weekend on water.
I thought. Anyway, Rochester, I'm glad you're safe, and hurry out here to Palm Springs.
I will. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well done. There you are. That's how I found out about Rochester. Ladies and gentlemen, this is American Brotherhood Week. Brotherhood. There's much more to it than the word itself implies. Many of us feel that we are practicing it if we have consideration and respect for our immediate circle of friends. Well, that's not enough. We should have it for all people everywhere. The color of a man's skin and the church he goes to is a mighty poor yardstick to use in measuring his character. And to have a contempt for an entire race because of color or creed is unthinkable. If you want to know how it feels, think back to when the Germans and the Japanese thought themselves superior races and said that all Americans were decadent, criminal, and stupid. Our anger and indignation flared at the thought of Americans being called decadent, criminal, and stupid. And yet, if we tolerate racial and religious discrimination, we are. I think I saw brotherhood at its best when I was overseas during the war. When men are fighting for their lives and the lives of their fellows, racial and religious issues are relegated to their proper place of unimportance. I never heard a wounded man complain about being carried back to a field hospital by a Negro, or ask whether the blood plasma he was getting was Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish. You know, a bullet is a very democratic thing. So let's remember and perpetuate these battlefield lessons and carry them through our lives to make a better world. There is a verse in the song, America the Beautiful, that should mean a lot to all of us. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood. From sea to shining sea, and crown thy good with brotherhood. That is our heritage. Let's live up to it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
and Jack will be back in just a minute. But first, here is my good friend, L.A. Speed Riggs.
A man goes by what he knows. Here's what Mr. William Lee Branch, independent tobacco auctioneer of Winterville, North Carolina, said.
Sure, I smoke Luckies. Been smoking them for 18 years. Any tobacco man will tell you that the quality of a cigarette depends on the quality of the tobacco that goes into it. And I know from long experience that Lucky Strike buys fine quality tobacco.
Quote, I know from long experience that Lucky Strike buys fine quality tobacco. Unquote. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw. So for your own real deep down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's programmer, Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. I'm Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 49, out of 49, American.
And this is Basil Rysdale speaking for Lucky Strike. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T. L.S.M.F.T.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
Well, Jack, another program's over.
Yep, another program and another birthday. Just think, Mary. Next year at this time, I'll be 39.
39? Jack, you said this year you were 37.
Oh, yes, yes, I'll be 38. I gotta watch that. Good night, Paul.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.